Is there a desire in you to not just attend revival, but live in revival? Welcome to the Revival Lifestyle Podcast. I'm your host, Isaiah Saldivar. I've been in revival for the last 10 years, as well as traveling and being a part of many revivals throughout the United States. I'm going to be sharing with you how to live a radical lifestyle of revival on a daily basis.
Or ask me anything, hang out. Let's talk about the week. Let's talk about what happened. Stream. We'll be doing Q&A, answering your guys' questions. Type something once you've loaded in. We are on slow mode. I hope I'm not muted like I was last time, but we're on slow mode. So hopefully that can get some more people to ask their questions and not be so bogged down. All right, hasn't started yet. We just started. So refresh, refresh, refresh. It takes a moment for YouTube to kick on, but welcome. Today's gonna be fun. Make sure that you like the broadcast, share the broadcast. We'll go like an hour, hang out and talk, read the chat, engage with you guys. I used to do this after my streams and lately I've just been going long. So we're gonna do it today. You guys hear me good? I'm not muted. Praise the Lord. All the American flags in the chat. Yes, the elephant in the room. We did almost a four-hour live stream on election night. And I think they announced that, like, I don't know what, an hour after we got off, that Donald Trump is going to be the 47th president of the United States. If there's no words. Happy is an understatement. This was for the unborn. This was for the babies. This was for our children and future generations. And I am beyond excited that we are now going to have a president that's going to protect free speech, going to protect our babies, our children. So excited about that. I posted a map earlier about how pretty much 90%+ of the country, except for the big cities, voted for him. The entire map was red. It was just amazing. It's amazing. It's a great time. What do we do now? That's the question. One temptation would be, now that our freedom of speech is protected and we're not in danger of getting deplatformed and this woke insanity is not going to be released on our country, hopefully any longer, is the temptation would be for the church to get stagnant and the church to get complacent. But now is not the time, as the body of Christ, to be stagnant. Now's not the time to be silent. Now's not the time to lower our voice. We have to continue to preach the gospel, preach repentance, point people to the hope. The Republican Party is not the hope of America. Donald Trump is not the Messiah or the hope of America. Jesus is the hope of America. Jesus is Lord. He's on the throne. No matter who got elected, he'd still be on the throne. He's the one that we exalt. He's the one that we worship. He's the one that we lift up. And so now it's going to be easier because we're not going to get our voice shut down. And there was a real threat to my platform if the other candidate got in, which is, of course, a fear of mine. But now we have to let our voice be heard. Now we have the ability to speak forth unapologetically and not get taken down or censored on these platforms like Facebook, like YouTube, like Instagram. So we have to let our voice be heard. We have to continue to pray. We have to continue to seek the Lord. Super excited about what's happening. I don't know if you guys saw already, Russia said that they're going to consider ending the war in Ukraine. Putin just said that today. And then Hamas is already calling for a ceasefire and ending of the war. Just day one, the Dow's at an all-time high. Bitcoin's at an all-time high. Things are booming. But guess what? The Lord is moving in this nation. The Lord is moving this nation. There was two things that could happen. I told you guys, number one, if Kamala Harris got elected, that was the judgment of God, because we know that every government official is elected by God according to scripture. So we know that if she got in office, it would be another 4 years of judgment, just like under Joe Biden, because God is the one appointing leaders. All leaders are under God's authority, even wicked ones. The other option was Trump gets elected, and it's the mercy of God, the Lord pouring out mercy and really delaying the tribulation. And so we got mercy. Praise the Lord. We can't take it for granted. I have one verse for you guys. So Isaiah, what do? We know it's the last days. We know the tribulation hasn't started yet, but what do we do now? And this verse is found, I won't read the whole thing, in 2 Peter, because I'm going to get to questions right now. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 14 says, "And dear friends, while you're waiting for these things to happen," and this is in the context of the last days, the tribulation, the pouring out of the wrath of God. Okay, this is end times context. While you're waiting, what do we do? This answers the question. What do we do while we're waiting for the tribulation to start, while we're waiting for the mark of the beast to get enlisted, while we're waiting for the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who's going to be coming on a war horse with robes dripped in blood, calling us to himself, rapturing us while we meet him in the air, and then we return as a heavenly army while he destroys all the armies of the earth at Armageddon? What do we do while we wait? This is what it says. Make every effort. So don't be lazy right now. This is not automatic. Make every effort to be found living peaceful lives that are pure and blameless in his sight. And remember, our Lord's patience gives people time to be saved. Okay, Why is God not showing up? Why is he not returning? Why is his second coming not yet? Peter tells us in this text that scoffers are going to come and say, you guys have been saying the world's going to end. You guys have been saying the Lord's going to come back for generations. Those are scoffers. Do not be a scoffer. We patiently wait for the Lord's return. But the scoffers go, he's not coming back. And they whine and complain about how the Lord's not coming back. And then Peter says, the Lord's not lying and he's not being slow. For one day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years is like one day. So why is God delaying? The Bible tells us. Peter literally tells us. He says he's delaying because he wants everyone to be saved. He says he's being patient for your sake. Could Christ come back right now? He says, I'm not coming back because I'm being patient for your sake so more people can get saved. What's the goal? Get people saved. How do we do that? We preach the gospel to all creatures and we do what the Bible says, be Christ's ambassador. So what is the next? What is this election? It's the slowing down of the wrath of God, the judgment of God. The church is getting ready. You got time. Preach to your friends and family. Let people know that Jesus is alive and well. Don't waste your time. Don't waste the time that we've been given because when the Lord comes back, there won't be no more time. You won't have the time to lollygag around like we're doing now. So this is time to share our faith, be radical. What am I going to do? I'm going to keep doing what I've been doing. I'm going to keep preaching the gospel. I'm going to keep training the church. I'm going to keep teaching on deliverance and miracles and baptism and repentance and holiness and revival and the fire and the baptism. We're going to keep doing what we're doing. The scripture is 2 Peter 3:14. But go read all of 2 Peter 3 because it talks about the end of the world. It talks about the end of the age and why God hasn't returned. It's patience. He's being patient for your sake. So win souls. All right, win souls. Let me know what you guys think in the comments. Are you guys as excited as I am that Kamala Harris did not get elected? And it's not that Donald Trump is in office, which I'm happy about. It's really that Kamala Harris isn't in office. Is that an extremely wicked left wing, for lack of a better term, and I know this is going to make some people mad, sorry, but not sorry, lunatic is not in office who's going to push child sacrifice and child mutilation. And people are saying, you shouldn't have said stuff politically now. You know, and I had a lot of comments saying, like, people aren't going to invite you, certain pastors aren't going to invite you. Here's the thing, respectfully, if you are a pastor and you support a candidate that's for child sacrifice and child mutilation, I don't want to come to your church. I don't want to be your friend. I don't want to be your friend. So don't worry, it's mutual. Yeah, I'm not going to invite you now because you support Donald Trump. It's mutual. You don't invite me, I won't come anyway. Praise the Lord. I don't want to be hanging out with baby murderer supporters, child mutilation supporters, woke mind virus supporters. I don't want to be around those people anyways. So, and guess what? You're the minority. You're the minority. Go look at the map. Almost every county in the U.S. voted for Donald Trump. People are sick of the woke agenda. So there's that. All right. Question number one, if God, and highlight my name, at Isaiah Saldivar, it'll highlight it so I can answer your question. But again, I'm reading all the comments. We're hanging out. We're talking. Thank you that you will no longer invite me to your church because I don't want to come anyways. Okay. Question number one, if God called you to be a politician / preacher, would you do it? The answer is this. I will do anything God calls me to do. If God called me to go stand on my head for the next 8 years, I will go do that. If God called me to whatever, sell everything I have and move to, I don't know where, name a country, I'll go do it. I literally will do anything the Lord tells me to do it as long as it's the Lord. And I'll tell you this, of the last 13 years of my life, of transitions I made and shifts I've made, when the Lord speaks, not only does he also speak to my spiritual fathers and leaders, but the Lord is crystal clear with what he wants me to do. And right now he's crystal clear. Reach the masses online. Travel and preach once in a while. Wake up the churches still. But your goal is to reach the body of Christ. And not the body of Christ, the world. Thousands and thousands of people are hearing the gospel and getting saved through the ministry. What's happening online. Unapologetic. If I start apologizing, oh, I don't want to talk about that. I'm scared. God, I'm going to lose my edge. God has given me an edge and a voice and a platform. And I'm going to use it until they take me down. So yes, I will do anything God tells me to do. Does not matter. If the Lord says do it, I'm going to do it. I'm only obedient to one person, and that's the Lord. And the Lord will confirm that with spiritual leaders, spiritual pastors in my life, and also he'll tell me, all right? Okay, 100% against the murder of babies in the womb. What do we say when people ask, what is the baby is a risk to the mother's life? What do we say? Well, usually that's never the case. That's like 0.00 something percent of if the baby's at risking the mother's life. Here's what I would say. I was in the waiting room when my aunt was having a baby, and they told my uncle, pick one. Someone's gonna die today. And I was in the waiting room. I was a young child, and my aunt, my dad's sister, was having a baby. And who you gotta choose who you're gonna save. Do we kill the baby and save the wife, or do we let the wife die and save the baby? And my uncle said, save them both. Do not kill the baby, save them both. Well, we can't do that. He said, save them both. And guess what? The baby was completely healthy, and my aunt was completely healthy, and the baby was fine. So my answer would be, if they came to me and said, who do you want us to save? Do we have to kill the baby? That usually never happens, but my answer would be, save them both. I will never justify killing a baby. I will just tell the doctor, save them both. That's it. And as far as like, well, removing if the baby's dead, that's not an abortion. A lot of things that the left is categorizing as abortion is not abortion. Okay, so they're different categories. But again, I would say there's never, ever a case for murder. There's never an exception. I know there's the three exceptions for rape, for incest, and for medical. There's, in my mind, there's zero exceptions to murdering a baby. Why is a church important to you? Being involved in a local church, I have a whole video on this, is important because the Bible commands us to. Do not forsake the assembling together. That is not an abortion. If the baby's dead inside of you and you get it removed, that's not considered an abortion. The baby's already dead. Abortion is killing the baby. Anyways, I'm not going to get into that. You can just do a 2-second Google search. The church is important for many reasons. One is the Bible says, don't forsake the assembling together of the brethren as many have and many will. So the Bible commands us to meet together, but there's spiritual accountability when you're involved in a church. There's fellowship with like-minded, on-fire believers if you're involved in the local church. There's opportunity for you to minister and use the gifts God has given you when you're in a local church. There's the ability for you to be under spiritual authority and leadership and guidance and wisdom. There's the ability for you to be fed, to hear the word of God being preached and to train and to equip you. There's a lot of reasons why you should be involved in a church. It's a refilling of your spirit when you're in church. It's a place of gathering local worship. By the end of the day, find a local church. Find a local church. How would you counsel, man, these are tough questions today. How would you counsel Christians, who did I vote for? Donald Trump. How would you counsel Christians, parents who have children who practice homosexuality? I would counsel them the same way I would counsel parents that have kids that are alcoholics or kids that are drug addicts or kids that are in any other gross sin, fornicators, living with their girlfriend, right? If my child's living with their boyfriend or girlfriend, they know my stance. They know it's wrong. I've taught them it's wrong. They've gone sideways. I'm not going to cut my kid off. I'm still going to love them, but I'm going to let them know what you're doing is wrong and I don't support it. So it would be like this, okay? If I have a child that is an alcoholic and they're grown, right? I don't know the age because every age is different. But say they're out of the house. I'm going to assume they're out of the house and they're an alcoholic. I would tell them, do not bring that to my house. I don't want you drinking in my house. I don't want you bringing alcohol in my house. I can't control what you do outside my house. But if you're a grown child, you're an adult, I'm not going to cut you off and say I hate you and all that. I'll pray with you. I'll help you in any way possible, but you're not bringing that into my house. In the same way, if I had a child that was homosexual, do not bring your boyfriend or girlfriend, whatever it is, to my house. I do not support the relationship. I do not support your sin. So I'm not supportive at all. I don't want a relationship with your boyfriend or girlfriend. I want a relationship with you and I love you and I'm praying for you and I'll still be your parent. I'll never cut you off. I don't think that's the right way to go, but I'm not supporting your sin. Just like if I was a kid, I have a child that's a drug addict. Don't bring that around here. Don't do it around me. You know my stance, but at the same time, I'm going to love them because love covers a multitude of sin and darkness has no defense for love. So I don't believe in the cutting off and all that of your kid if they're living a simple lifestyle. I think we need to pray for them. We need to be there for them, but we also can't justify or be okay with what their compromise is. All right, lots of questions here. Have you ever thought about having a live debate with Fight? I don't know who Fight for Faith is. I think it would explain those who disagree with you. I don't know who that person is, but maybe I'll look them up. But no, debates are fruitless. 90%+ of debates are fruitless. If I get on a debate with any, I'm assuming this is somebody that just doesn't agree with me, right? So I don't know who that Fight for Faith is. But let's say it's another channel that calls me out. He's false. He's a heretic. And they're crying on their channel about me, making all these videos about me. They're not changing their mind. I'm not changing my mind, because it's probably about deliverance or miracles. I'm not changing my mind on my stance on deliverance or miracles, and you're not changing your mind on that you think it doesn't happen anymore, you think Christians can't have demons, or you think that the gifts aren't for today. Neither of us are changing our mind. So we're going to get on there and argue and just get into head battles. And the Bible says, don't even waste your time with these long debates, these long arguments. Nobody benefits. It's just fleshly. So that's why I don't go in debate with any of these people, because I don't care. Who are you? Who do you think you are that I have to answer to you when I'm in a local church and I have multiple spiritual fathers and spiritual coverings that speak into my life, that guide and correct me, that have way more theology than any of these people calling out online? Dr. Michael Brown is a voice in my life. Dr. Michael Brown's written over 50 books, has PhD degrees in Greek and Hebrew. This guy knows his stuff, and I've told him, if you see anything, correct me, bring it to my attention. Why do I need some random YouTuber that doesn't even know what he's talking about, never even practiced any of the stuff he's calling me out about, when Dr. Michael Brown could correct me? Or my pastor, my uncle could correct me. Or my local church pastor could correct me. That's biblical order. So yeah, the debate thing is, it's fruitless. Maybe I'll have a discussion, but the whole debate is completely fruitless. It's just divisive. All right, Isaiah, I have a question regarding, again, you guys know, I'm just shotgunning these questions, whatever I see on the screen. They're coming in fast. You can keep asking. It's a 30-second timer for your chat, but I'll just try to answer as I can. I have a question regarding spiritual gifts. Do you ask God for them, or do you wait? And how would you know if you're actually worthy of them? All right, if you're a believer, you're worthy of them. Great question, because you can't earn spiritual gifts, or they wouldn't be spiritual gifts. Number two, spiritual gifts are manifestations of the Holy Spirit. So for example, a gift of healing. You do not need a gift of healing if you never pray for the sick. You do not need the gift of prophecy if you never plan to prophesy. You do not need the gift of speaking in tongues if you never plan to speak in tongues. A lot of people that don't walk in spiritual gifts is because they don't actually step out and need them. So this is the way spiritual gifts work. They don't come on you and you have them and it's just, I'm gifted, everyone I pray for gets healed. Man, my contact is burning in my right eye. Okay, that's not the way spiritual gifts work. They are brief and dramatic manifestations of the Holy Spirit. So if I'm praying for someone that's sick and I need the gift of healing, that gift of healing, which is in me, because we have the Holy Spirit gives all gifts and he has all the gifts, that gift can manifest. Or if I'm going to pray for somebody and that gift of prophecy manifests. Not, it doesn't mean I'm prophesying everywhere I go, but these are manifestations. That's literally what the Bible calls them. Manifestations of the Holy Spirit. And they're not even all called gifts. I know we all call them like gifts. There's only a few of them that are even called gifts. The rest of them are just manifestations of the Holy Spirit. So they're tools to do the job. You don't need a shovel if you're a chef. Amen? So some of you are like, I need the gifts, and you don't even do anything for God. So you don't need the gifts. You need the gifts when you're ministering. They're for the body of Christ to minister to people. For the growing, for the edification, for the correction, for the building up. These are not for entertainment. These are for equipping. They're not toys. They're tools. They're spiritual tools. They're manifestations of God's power to help us establish his government on the earth. So, yeah, you just ask him. Step out and pray for the sick and say, Lord, would you release the gift of healing? If you need the word of wisdom, ask for the word of wisdom. Ask for the word of wisdom. Okay, here we go. What should a young man do other than the basics in order to follow Christ in this day? What's the most important thing for a young man to do today? Great question, Jordan. The most important thing, listen to me now, besides the basics of prayer, fasting, reading, all of that, okay, because you said besides the basics. Listen, Jordan, all you young men, listen. The most important thing you can do in the hour that we live in, 2024, the most important thing we can do is guard our eyes. Guard our eyes. We are being assaulted from every direction with lust and pornography and perversion and sexuality, all of that. Men are being bombarded. The devil has launched an all-out assault on the eyes of this generation. And over again, the Bible speaks of the importance of your eyes and your eye gates. Job said, Lord, I want to make a covenant with my eyes. There's a book by Bob Sorge, I think it is, Sorger. I'm pretty sure it's his name. Covenant with Your Eyes. Read that book. Buy that book yesterday. Buy that book today. Covenant with the Eyes. And it's all about, Lord, turn my eyes away from looking at worthless things. I don't want my eyes on things that they shouldn't be on. We have to covet our eyes and protect our eyes. So we don't realize like looking at things matter. We're bringing things into our body when we look at them. And so we have to be careful what we're looking at. Don't let pastors tell you, it's not a big deal, it's not lustful, it's not this. Guard your eyes. Guard your eyes. Guard your eyes. So yeah, the biggest thing for young men in this generation is guard your eyes. All right, here we go. Thoughts on Candace Owens and her Kamala series? I didn't see it. Planning to make Christian content online and wondering how you prepare your videos. So you're not going to do what I'm doing yet if you don't have a platform. So I've gotten to where I'm at from the last 6 years of grinding and putting together what I feel like the Lord's telling me to do. But the Lord's going to tell you to do something different. So not everybody has the same formula and same format. If you're just starting, start with short form. Make short form videos. Like I'll make these highly produced videos and they get 30,000 views. And then I made a video off my phone the other day, a short video, and it got 200,000 views. So short form is where it's at if you're new. Make short form videos. Get right to the point. Don't be long-winded. Don't be, just get to the point. Get right to the point. People have a short attention span. Sadly, people have a shorter attention span than a goldfish. So if you want to get the message across, you have to be right to the point. I do long 2-3 hour broadcasts because I've built this. I haven't built it. God's built this audience since the beginning before short form content was around. But nowadays, everybody's attention span is extremely short. So you got to get to the point and make short form. All right, let's see. Here we go. And some of these questions, guys, I'll skip because I don't know. Like the Messiah 2030 project, I have no clue what that is. I have no clue what that is, to be honest. How to get rid of soul ties? My church doesn't do deliverance. I have a video on breaking soul ties. It's just prayer. Just pray. And sometimes you need to get rid of whatever it is the person gave you that your soul is tied to. Sometimes getting rid of the item is going to help as well. Love the shirt. Thank you. You can get it on revivallifestyleapparel.com. Thanks. What do you think of Santa? I mean, nothing. I don't think anything of him. He's not a real person, so I don't think anything of him. Well, right now, he's not. Obviously, he was an actual person, St. Nicholas, but he's not any longer. Can you explain biblical... I'm not going to go to Isaiah 58 on stream, but I have videos, entire videos on fasting. If you guys ask me, like, what do you think about John 14, verse 7? I don't have the Bible memorized, so you're going to have to put the video, the comment, like the actual verse you want to know about on the screen, so that I can get to it, because I'm not just going to sit here while everybody's asking questions. I'll stop looking up the verse. If you could just put it with your thing, that'd be great. Okay, here we go. Again, guys, lots of comments. How long should a Christian couple wait before getting engaged? Wait, let's see. How long should a Christian couple wait before getting engaged? I thought you meant while you're engaged. I'll answer both. How long you should wait before you get engaged? It depends on every person. Every person is different. Some people it's fast, some people it's slower, but I would say it's unhealthy to be dating for years and years and not getting engaged or not getting married. Because the Bible says it's better to marry than to burn, and you're likely gonna burn with lust. So I personally don't think it's healthy or biblical to be, oh, I dated for, you know, 6-7 years and then we got engaged and then we're engaged for 3-4 years. You're just bringing temptation upon yourself. And this isn't always true, but it's mostly true. People that have really long engagements end up falling into sin. So if you're engaged, planning to get married, get married. Get married. This whole like waiting till you're 40 or 38, till you're out of college, that's all American. That's all American. I don't personally think that's God's plan for people's lives. If you know they're the one, if God's confirmed to you both, a man that finds a wife finds a good thing. If I find something good, why am I going to wait for 3 years? I found something good, you know? Put a ring on it. These year-long, multiple year-long, like 3 months, 6 months, 8 months. That's good. I think ours was 3 months. But just saying, my story is different because I was in full-time ministry, traveling, all of that. But I just don't see long engagements as being beneficial. If you already know that's the person you're going to marry, just marry them. Well, I got to wait till this. Just do it. You'll figure it out. You don't need to live your whole life waiting around going like, I have to get this right and this right. That's how a lot of you live for God. This has to get in order. I got to get out of college to serve God. I got to get out of high school. I got to get out of this. I got to get a good job once I make a lot of money and settle down with kids. No, just go. Just do it. This life is a life of adventure. Jesus says, don't even worry about tomorrow. Today has enough worries in itself. Worry about today. I'll take care of you. Just go where I'm going to show you. So this whole like 10-year plan, that is not in the Bible. None of the disciples had a 10-year plan. Paul did not have a 10-year plan. Our faith is daily bread. We depend on the Lord. The disciples didn't even know where they were going the next day. They were following the Lord. And that is us in this life. This life is very short. Don't keep waiting and waiting to serve the Lord, waiting and waiting to do this. waiting to do that. It's just serve him. Okay. Can you talk about how to leave and cleave practically struggling with boundaries? Not sure, that's kind of a broad question, but I would say if you're married, you need to be the one making the decisions in your marriage, not your parents, not your in-laws. You know, a lot of times the wife will, her parents will sway her. And no, me and you, the Bible says they leave their mother and father and they become one. So you need to let God lead your marriage. You need to be, you two both need to be making decisions. And don't give your family so much input on your marriage, especially if they're not Christians. They're not even believers and you're over there taking all their advice. Some of you are first generation Christians. You have no Christian family and you're getting married, letting your ungodly family govern your marriage. Like, with all due respect, you're not even a believer. I don't want advice from you. You don't even know what godly marriage looks like. So you don't need to be telling me the decisions that God's telling us to make. Yeah, it's like a lot of you, how do I say this nicely? I don't even know a nice way to say this, but you need to just become a man, all right? It's time to tell Mom, I can't be coming over every afternoon for you to cook for me anymore. Mom, you can't be over here acting like my mom still. I'm married, I have a wife, and I need to spend time with her, not you. So yeah, some of you are just, you just need to grow up. I don't know what else to say. That's also, you know, I don't wanna go into that because I don't wanna make people feel bad, but you just need to grow up. Men, you need to grow up. Women, you need to grow up. And it's time to become an adult now. We have this extended adolescence now. Like 30 years old is like 17-year-olds 100 years ago. It's like, hey, you're 18, you're 19, you're 20. Grow up, man up, set your own alarm. You don't need your parents waking you up. You don't need, figure it out. It's time to go. Get out of the nest. You know, the bird, the eagles, they push the babies out of the nest. And then it's like, hey, if you could fly, hopefully. If not, you're going to have to just fall and get hurt. But you got to get out of the nest at some point. It's just too comfortable there. So I don't know if that's the boundaries you're talking about, but there you go. My husband talks to his mom every day and they're deep in the new age. Yes, why? Why are you getting advice? Why are you taking counsel? I don't understand that, especially for people, like I said, that aren't believers. Would you do deliverance on a 14-year-old unbeliever with unbelieving parents? No. Number one, I wouldn't do a deliverance on an unbeliever, period, unless they're going to turn their life over to Christ immediately. Number two, if they're 14 under the parents' roof and their parents are unbelievers and they're unbelievers, the demons are just going to come back worse. So I would never force deliverance on anybody. What's the difference between a soul tie and a spirit spouse? A soul tie is when you literally are so connected with somebody that your soul is connected to them. And a spiritual spouse is a demon that thinks it's married to you and does everything it can to destroy your relationships, your marriage, and any connection you have with people around you because they've basically attached themselves to you so much that they think they're married to you. So that's the difference. Is it okay not to hear God's audible voice? Or what can you do to hear it? I've heard the audible voice of God twice in my life, but I hear God every day, but it's not audibly. The Bible says it's a still, small voice. I have entire multiple hour videos on how to hear the voice of God, but two quick pieces of advice I would give you is number one, remove all the other noises and distractions and get alone with him. Don't get mad you're not hearing God if you never go in the secret place. Get alone with him. Turn everything off, all the music, all the noise, all the TV, and get alone with him. And then number two, get close to him. Sin separates us from God and puts distance between us and God. The more sin in your life, the harder it's gonna be to hear the Lord. So if you wanna hear that small whisper, you gotta be near him. You can't hear somebody whisper if you're not near them. And that's how the Lord speaks to believers, is the small whisper of the Holy Spirit. So get close to him, remove distractions, and remove the sin in your life. What should I do as a Christian if I fall in love with a Muslim girl and she falls in love with me? You should break up. Do not marry a Muslim girl. If you are a Christian, do not marry anybody that is not a Christian. I promise you, you'll have a life of trouble. You will have a life of trouble. Either she becomes a Christian or you guys need to break up, because getting married to a Muslim or anybody that's not of the faith is gonna cause contention and chaos in your life. And the Bible says, what fellowship do we have with unbelievers? You're unevenly yoked. So you're just gonna have to break up. If a couple finds God and they've been together since they were 12, now 51, does a wedding need paper or can it be done between them only? I believe that it needs to be done the right way, and whatever way that your state or your governing body that you're under says is the right way, that's what God honors. Because the Bible says we need to submit to governing authorities. So if the governing authorities say, this is how a marriage is, you need to have a pastor marry you and you need to have a paper sign for me, it would be the state of California, that would be biblical marriage. And that's why the Bible said God would let Moses give divorce certificates. So those literally divorce certificates and marriage certificates. So you need to do it the right way. You can't just go under a tree and say, I love you, we're married now before God, and then go sleep together. That's not, God does not honor that. It needs to be official. And in the Bible, they had weddings. They had massive weddings, multiple day weddings. Not that you have to do that, but whatever your governing body is, you need to obey the laws of the land. Most people don't know, the Bible tells us we have to obey the laws of the land. Now, of course, if the law tells you to sin, you don't obey it because you obey God above the governing laws, but you have to obey laws. It's a sin to break the laws of God because God has put those people above us to watch over us. So yeah, go to Romans. You'll learn all about that. My mom feels like Scooby-Doo is demonic. Do you think Scooby-Doo is demonic? I don't know. I haven't watched Scooby-Doo since I was a kid, but I personally wouldn't let my kids watch it because when I grew up watching it, it was all about solving murder mysteries. It's not really something kids should watch. I don't think Scooby-Doo is demonic. Well, I don't know. Is it? I have no clue. I haven't seen it since I was a kid. But I will say it's always like ghosts, ghouls, goblins, and murder mysteries. So that's just something I don't want my kids watching. If you're already married, okay, so you're already married with an unbeliever with two kids, you stay with them. You do not divorce them because they're unbelievers. You stay with them. And your relationship with God covers them, it says. It doesn't mean that they're going to be saved if they die. It doesn't mean they're going to go to heaven. But it means that your holiness covers them. Otherwise, your kids can't be holy. So the Bible tells you to stay with them. Now, if your spouse wants to leave you because you're a Christian now, let them go. And you can get a biblical divorce if your spouse divorces you or abandons you for being a Christian. That's the only thing, okay? Of course, cheating is a way to get a divorce. But if they abandon you or leave you because of your faith, then you're no longer obligated to that marriage, the Bible says. And I have a video on divorce and remarriage. Just search the channel. All right, is it bad to have a cup or two of wine? Adriana, I would just stay away from alcohol completely. I would stay away from it completely. There's nothing good about it. There's nothing right with it. There's nothing beneficial about it. It's destroyed millions and millions of lives. That's enough for me. Majority of violent crimes are due to alcohol, and so it's enough for me to say I'm staying away. As a Christian, I'm not going to partake. Strong drink, which is an alcoholic beverage, is not for kings and queens, Bible says in Proverbs. And the Bible says we are royal priesthood. We're kings and queens. We're royalty in God's eyes. So it's just not for me. It's something the world does, not something that the believer should do. How did you find Without Walls? They reached out to me in 2013, early 2013. So about 10 years ago, or maybe 2014, but it was about 10 years ago. Is it okay to cut off toxic family members that are hurtful and rude? Yeah. Yeah, it is. Jesus said, who is my family but those that do the will of God? So yeah, you're not in sin if you cut off your family that's hurtful or rude or the Lord's telling you to cut them off. Jesus, the guy said, I got to go bury my dad, blah, blah. Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead. Jesus said, I didn't come to bring peace, but to bring a sword to divide families. Guys, I know this is not the American church, Daisy Jesus, you guys talked about. Like, you guys got taught in the church. Jesus is no joke. If I listen to only instrumental with no lyrics, is it against biblical values? Is it sin? No. The lyrics are what give music meaning. Right? Without lyrics, there is no Christian or non-Christian. So the lyrics are what give it meaning. Now, of course, don't be listening to occultic music, but I'm just saying, in general, instrumental music's totally fine because the lyrics are what has meaning. I'm so relieved Trump won. You and me both. I've never dealt with backsliding, and if not, what advice would you give? I would tell people come back to the Lord. Come back to the Father's house. I don't know specifically what I would say, but every situation is different. But yeah, I would just try to call him back to the Lord. What do you think about Elevation Worship? I'm not super familiar with all their songs. There's a few that I like, but I wouldn't say their music's bad and unbiblical. I just am not super familiar with all their music. Like, I haven't heard an Elevation song where I'm like, oh, that's unbiblical. And I'm also not, how do I say this nicely? I'm also not like a Pharisee. So I don't look and be like, oh, this person's false, this person's false, this person's wrong. I'm not looking around trying to find every false teacher, every false preacher, every false pastor, every false worship leader. I'm not doing that. Someone said, some of your guys' comments are hilarious. It's so funny how much some of you hate a person that stands for pro-life and pro-traditional marriage and stands against woke demonic ideology. The fact that so many of you hate somebody like that is mind-boggling to me. And this just is probably not the right community for you. If you are pro-choice, this is probably, you're probably not going to like this community. You can stay, but I'm going to continue till I die to speak out against abortion. I'm going to continue to speak out against child mutilators, puberty blockers, and people trying to give our kids sex changes. And I'm not going to stop. If you're like, one day he's going to stop and evolve, no, I'm not. I'm not going to stop. I will never filter myself. I'll never water down, sugarcoat anything I say. So if you're easily offended or you're woke, this is, you're just not going to like being here. You might stay for a little bit, but then I'm going to just keep offending you. So yeah, if you're pro-choice, if you're in this whole woke mind virus agenda, I'm not going to be the right guy for you. Go find some weak, watered down pastor, and there's plenty of them out there that has no backbone, that won't speak out, that's progressive, that's new age, and that follows a different Jesus. Because I'm just going to tell you the truth here. Is Christian rap okay? Yes. Should church have Santa at their event? I mean, I wouldn't. I don't know if it's like, I just wouldn't. I don't know what else to say about it. Okay, what happens when you fast and what happens when you break a fast? Is there any way to tell your fast is working or you just have faith and you wait on God? You have faith. Everything we do is by faith. So fasting draws me closer to God. Fasting crucifies my flesh. Fasting says no to King Stomach and yes to King Jesus. It removes the distraction, the clutter. It's a sacrifice. Fasting does a lot of things. One thing fasting doesn't do is not work. That's a long way around the barn. Fasting always works. So if you're doing a biblical fast, you're not eating, you're only drinking water, you just do it unto the Lord. But remember, when you're fasting, don't just fast and not pray. Don't just fast and not read. Like, that's just a diet. So you need to make sure you're fasting with spiritual practices, because fasting is a spiritual practice. It's not a dietary plan. You're not doing it to lose weight. You're doing it to crucify your flesh and get closer to Christ. That's why they said, your disciples don't fast. Jesus said, why would they fast when I'm here? When I leave, then they will fast. So when he feels farther from you, then you can do a fast. But fasting is, it's a crucifying of the flesh. It's a disciplined practice. It's a spiritual reality. It's something the Bible tells us to do, so we do it. And guys, I just want to point this out. There are some things that the Bible just tells us to do that we just do. This idea that I have to understand everything. Why? Where is that idea? We don't need to understand everything. Just do it. If the Bible says do it, just do it. If God says do 13 backflips to be saved, I'm going to do that. It doesn't matter. I don't need to, in Bible college, I don't need to intellectualize it. You can't put God in a Petri dish or under a microscope. He does not fit in a test tube. We don't have to have an explanation. You know how many places in the Bible it says you won't understand? Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, it hasn't entered into the heart of man. God is above, way above and beyond anything we ask, think, or imagine according to the power that work within us. These are just not, to whom can you compare me to, the Lord says. There's nobody like our God. There's no comparison. There's no like measuring stick. The Lord is the Lord and we do what he says. That's why when Naaman was full of leprosy and he said, go dip 7 times. And he's like, I don't want to dip 7 times. And his servant said, you don't want to go dip 7 times, but if he did told you to do something hard, you would do it. But he's telling you to do something simple and you're not going and dipping. And sometimes you just got to dip. You just got to go dip 7 times. Like, why are you doing that? Some of you guys, your family thinks you're nuts for doing what you're doing. Here's the answer. The Lord said to do it. When we look at the wedding banquet of Cana, when the water turned into wine, Mary told the servants, whatever he says, do it. Write that in your notebook. Highlight that in your little Starbucks journal. Whatever the Lord says, I'm going to do it. I don't care. It sounds crazy. Most of what I've done in my ministry, people thought I was nuts, including going online. There are so many pastors that I barely talk to this day because they think I'm nuts for going online. There's pastors this day that pretty much cut me off because they think I'm like less than. Like, there's pastors, like when I say literally, I mean literally, I know I overuse that word, that right now think because I do online, I gave up my calling to preach and travel and I'm less than now. Not realizing I'm doing exactly what I've been doing for 13 years, but now I'm reaching hundreds of millions when before I was reaching tens of thousands. So just do it. It didn't make sense why we're doing the online and we gave up what we were doing, but we just do it anyways. And you know what? Maybe the Lord's gonna tell me to do something else and maybe I'll give up the online and it won't make sense. And people will call me nuts again. But spoiler, they've been calling me nuts since the day I got saved. We just do it. All right. If you divorce and remarry, can you go to heaven? If you do it biblically, yes. If you biblically got a biblical divorce, and I have a video on that, I won't go into detail again, and you remarry, of course you can go to heaven because you're not married. This is the thing about remarriage. If you get divorced biblically, the covenant is broken. You're no longer bound to the contract, to the covenant. That's why the Bible says if your spouse dies, you can get remarried because you're no longer married. So yes, if you get remarried biblically, you're fine. What did Jesus mean? Again, you got to put the verse in there. And then can a female be a pastor? I think a female can be a pastor, but I wouldn't say they can be a senior leader, senior pastor. That's the role of the man. But I won't go into that too much. What are your thoughts on nose rings as Christians? I don't really have any thoughts. I don't see anything wrong with them. I don't have any thoughts on them. Can't put God in a box. Amen. Let's see. Lots of comments. It's kind of frustrating because I lose a lot of the comments because I talk so long, and then the questions, they kind of get deleted. Well, not deleted, but you just can't really scroll up because they kind of skip. Do witches use photos to do witchcraft on someone else? Yes. They use photos, items, people's hair, people's t-shirts, everything you can think of. How do I cast a demon out from my in-laws' property? I've seen it and feel it. I've tried to pray over the property. Well, it depends if they want it gone. If they've given the demon a legal right to be there and they don't want the demon to leave, the demon doesn't have to leave the property. I have a video on casting demons out of your house, Scott. You've probably seen it already, but watch that video where I talk about steps to getting demons out of your house. I have about 3 videos on that. But yes, the demons will, how do I say this? Exert legal right over a place that they're welcomed or invited or given legal right to be there. So if they don't want it to leave and they're not willing to themselves tell it to leave, it's likely you can't go on somebody else's property and command a demon to leave that they invited to be there or somebody else invited to be there when you don't own the property. All of this stuff in the spirit realm is all legalities. It's all legal. So they recognize who owns the property. All of that stuff is real in the spiritual realm. Let's see. Okay, question. How do some siblings end up with family generational curses and some don't? For example, illnesses and early death. I don't know the answer to that, Lyric, and it's something that's perplexed me since I've learned about and gotten into deliverance ministry, which has been a long time. I don't know. I don't know how some siblings get it, some don't. I don't fully know because it's a spiritual thing, how these things get passed down in our bloodline. I don't know how some people can live in debaucherous sin for years and not have a demon. And then some people sin for 2 months and get demons. I don't fully know, understand all of it. I don't think we ever will. These are spiritual principles. I don't even know how a demon can live in a body part, yet they do. So again, people want an explanation for all of these things. And some of these things are spiritual mysteries that we have to come to grips with. We don't know. And we may never know. So that's one of them. That's one of them. What else needs to happen for Jesus to return? Pretty much every prophecy that needs to be fulfilled has been fulfilled for the return. But he's not returning until after the 7-year tribulation period. So we still have to go through the tribulation, which we haven't gone through. And for those of you that think we already went through the tribulation or we're in it, you don't know the tribulation. It'll be the worst time in human history, the worst 7 years where over 1 billion people will die. No one, hear me loud and clear, no one is going to be shocked when we're going through the tribulation saying, I don't know if this is the tribulation or not. We will all know we're in the tribulation. There will be an Antichrist. We will know who he is. We will not be surprised, the Bible says, by the day of the Lord. Now, this is not the stream to explain all this, but the whole rapture, pre-trib, like you're just going to get raptured out of the sky at some random moment, that's not in the Bible. There is a rapture, and I believe in the rapture, but it's not biblical for it to happen at a random time when nobody knows. The Bible says in Thessalonians, you will know when the Lord returns. You will not. Why? Because you're a child of the light, not of darkness. Now, you won't know the day or the hour, but you'll know the time that he's going to come back because you'll know we're in the tribulation. So again, pre-trib rapture started about 100 years ago. It was not in the early church. Nobody in the early church taught pre-rapture. The Bible does not teach a pre-tribulation rapture. It's nowhere in scripture. If you believe in pre-trib rapture like I used to, you believe in 3 comings. You believe he came once, he's coming to rapture you, and then he's coming again the third time at the end of the 7 years of tribulation. That's not the way it works. The way it works is we will go through the tribulation. There will be an antichrist. The world will be in chaos. The wrath of God will be poured out in the world. We will be protected from the Lord's wrath, but not the wrath of the antichrist. Okay? At the end of the 7-year tribulation period, we will get so-called raptured, that is, caught up in the air to meet him. That will happen when he comes back. He will come down from heaven. We will get taken from the earth, meet him in the air, and then we will return. And there's a lot of Jewish context to this I won't go into, but we will come back, if you go read the book of Revelation, as a heavenly army with the Lord on white horses ourselves. He will be riding a white horse with robes dripping blood. We will return for the battle of Armageddon out of basically the breath of his mouth. He will destroy the Antichrist, false prophet, and the beast, and all the armies of the world that gather together at Armageddon who are rallied by the Antichrist. That will be the second coming of Christ. There's no raptured in the air, 7 years go by, he comes back there, he meets us in the air, brings us back up, we wait 7 years, and we all come back again together. That's not what the Bible teaches. Dr. Brown has an amazing book. I think it's called Do Not Fear the Antichrist or something like that. But go check out Dr. Michael's Brown book on it. And he also has a video he's done with me about why the preacher rapture is a lie and not true. And I won't go into all of it, but it is not true. It's an invention of man. You got taught it. Guys, you have to get to a place where you just say, I don't care about tradition. I might have got taught something, but guess what? I got taught wrong. So I don't want to keep arguing and bucking back and forth with you. Not Afraid of the Antichrist is the book. Just acknowledge you got taught wrong. Maybe some of you learned, just pray the sinner's prayer and then invite Jesus in your heart and you just can do whatever you want and you're still saved. You just got taught wrong. That's not in the Bible. So we are so in love with these traditions like pre-trib rapture, like the sinner's prayer. Just recognize it's not biblical. It's not real. I got lied to. It's not in the Bible. The person that taught me got taught by their grandparent, got taught by their grandparent, got taught by their grandparent. There's a reason why we don't see it in the Bible. There's a reason why if you read the entire book of Revelation, you'll never see the preacher rapture. Ever. In fact, what you'll see if you read the book of Revelation is people getting martyred all throughout the book. The martyrs dying. Why are they dying? Because they're Christians in the tribulation. Duh. And I was so blind to this that I taught every verse out of Revelation. You know what I had to keep saying? Well, these people got saved after the rapture. It didn't even say that. I had to keep imposing my own opinion on the text because I was a preacher of rapture when I taught every verse out of Revelation, which took me 4 or 5 months. But I was wrong. And then I was like, oh, I'm wrong. The guy's name, Dr. Michael Brown. My name is Isaiah Saldivar, but he's Dr. Michael Brown. Just search Dr. Michael Brown, Isaiah Saldivar, and you'll find our video together where he breaks all this down and takes me to school. And then I change my position. So how do you have so much energy all the time? I need that. When I talk about God, I get fired up. I do not have all the energy all the time, but I get so excited to talk about the Lord and what he's done and what he's doing in the earth that I'm fired up when I talk about it. I've never, ever talked about it and not been excited. And I've spent thousands and thousands of hours talking about it. My book comes out November 12th. Pre-order it now, How to Cast Out Demons. Go to Amazon right now or go to the description, How to Cast Out Demons. What do you order at Taco Bell? Okay, if I was going to order Taco Bell right now, I would get a Crunchwrap with no lettuce and no tomato. I would keep the sour cream and nacho cheese. I would add potatoes and beans and steak. So it'd be steak, beans, potatoes, sour cream, and cheese. And it would be like $11 probably. So yeah, that's what I'd order if I ordered right now from Taco Bell. Crunchwrap, yes. But no lettuce and tomato because, I don't like tomatoes, number one. Number two, their lettuce is nasty. I mean, it's lettuce from Taco Bell. What could we say? But I probably eat Taco Bell once a month, maybe. Maybe once every 3 weeks. I don't know. It depends. Please do a series of prophecy timeline and end times and tribulation. Adriana, I have an entire playlist of end times teaching. So yeah, go check out the channel. I've done that. How do you handle heresy hunters? I just ignore them. Anyone that's in the stands, how does a quarterback acknowledge someone in the stands when they say, run this play? What does the quarterback do? Ignores them. So yeah, anybody that's on the field, I'll listen to, but when you're in the stands criticizing those on the field, you don't have my ear. Thoughts on sound healing? I wouldn't get involved in any sound healing. It's New Age. Yeah, sound healing is New Age. Don't get involved in it. It's not biblical, and it's literally New Age. Okay, in your opinion, do you think the Antichrist has already been born? If you don't know, definitively, but in your humble opinion? I know you don't know definitively, but in your humble opinion. Okay. Well, the Antichrist likely will be an adult when he rises to power. So is there a chance the Antichrist has been born? Yes. Is there a chance that he's a child right now and then in 40 years he is in power? Yeah, there is, for sure. For sure. So I don't know, but now ask me on Monday or Tuesday if Kamala Harris got elected. Guys, in my opinion, if Kamala Harris got elected, I would say we're speeding towards judgment because of the perversion. That's one of the signs of the last days and the end times. But I think it could be slower than we think. But I don't truly know. I just know that America and the world has been spiraling. The reason why America is so significant is because America ships basically their perversion to the rest of the world. America's a global leader, meaning if we start enacting policies of child sex changes, child mutilation, child sacrifice, all the stuff that we've been doing, but it's getting worse, the rest of the world starts adopting our practices. We're leaders in that, if that makes sense to some of you. But I think that this whole election has slowed down the moral decay, pushed back these child mutilators and child sacrifices, because that's what they are. So I think that we're slowing things down now. But it could be. We could literally have the tribulation starting, I don't know, 5 years, 10 years. It could be any time. Thank you for Deliverance Map. Absolutely, Selena. Okay, let's see. Do you think the Spirit is being poured out? Absolutely. Someone asked earlier if the tribulation has to happen before the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit started 2,000 years ago and it hasn't stopped. The Lord is pouring out His Spirit. He started at Pentecost and He's continuing to do it every single second, every single day. All right. Scott, absolutely, brother. What advice would you give to help a lukewarm teenager? Well, I would try to get my lukewarm teenager around on fire teenagers. So if I'm in your shoes and I have a lukewarm teenager, I would try to figure out how can I get them in a place where they could be around other on fire teenagers. So I would find that place and get them there. That's what I would do. I would figure it out. Whatever I have to do to get them to a place where there's people that are on fire around them. And of course, just keep praying for them. Raise a child in a way that they raise a child in the ways of the Lord, and when they get older, they will not depart. So just continue to pour into them and raise them up. Why do you converse with demons when casting them out? I know Daniel Adams and Prophet Lovie do. I don't do that. The way Daniel Adams and Lovie talk to demons and have full-on conversations, I don't do that. The reason I talk to a demon is if it won't come out, and the only thing I ask it is why it's not leaving. I don't go into this whole debate with it and start trying to talk to it and have a conversation. So I don't do that, but it is okay to ask their name, why they won't leave, but you're not gonna see me turning it into a theatrical production, which is what some people do. Just personally, I don't do that. I don't see that in scripture. I think it's insensitive to the people that you're doing deliverance on, and you will never see me doing a 30-minute, anyways, I don't wanna go into it because I'm not trying to throw shade at people, but I just think it's wrong. But I do talk to demons, and I do have confrontation, but not conversation. And it's only if they don't leave. But I don't initially start with talking to them. I start with commanding them to leave. And if they don't, and they're stubborn after a while, and this is all, I talk about this all in my book, Stubborn Demon, chapter on stubborn demons, then I will ask them their name and have a confrontation with them. But again, it's not this theatrical production where you're basically telling them, you can't say this to the man of God and all of that stuff. I'm just really using, if you hear me talking slow, it's because I'm trying to think before I speak and using my words wisely because I don't want to say stuff that, yeah. Anyways, thank you, Lord, for the filter. All right. When will you come to your church? I want to meet you. I'm there every week. I was there Sunday at the second service, Corinna. I'll be there this Sunday. I'll be there next Sunday. The only time I'm not at my church is if I'm traveling, which I traveled a lot the last few months. But yeah, I'm there second service. Come up and say hi to me. Okay. Lots of questions. We'll be live. Oh, it's almost 1 o'clock, so we're going to get off soon. All right, last question I'll take, and then we'll hang out and just talk for a moment. Oh, man. Are demons, fallen angels, or disembodied spirits in the Nephilim? I don't fully know, but I lean on the side of, I don't know. I'm in the middle. I'm in the middle. I don't want to answer that, but nobody truly knows what they are. I would lean on the side of fallen angels, though. Okay, I was going to answer one more here. Last question I'm going to answer, and then I'm going to hang out just for a second with you guys, and then, yeah. Do you get sad thinking about not having a son? No, I don't. I don't get sad. I love my girls. I love what God has given me. I don't think anything's on accident. I think that children are a gift from God, and so I love my daughters. I wouldn't have it any other way, but also, I'm still young, so is my wife. So who knows? Who knows? Pregnancy announcement soon? I don't know. Who knows? I'm just saying, number 5 could be on the way. Only God knows. We don't know. God could do supernatural, miraculous things. He could work wonders. So the next time you see Alyssa on stream, it could be an announcement. I don't personally know. These are the things for the Lord to decide. But there may be a time where I have a son. We also want to adopt and do foster care at some point. Right now we have a 10, an 8, a 6, and a 4. So probably not the best time yet. But at some point we do want to adopt. We do want to do foster care. So I might have my son by adopting a son. And when, or if, but hopefully when we adopt, that's going to be our kid. Oh, Alyssa. Alyssa, where'd you come from? Have you been in here the whole time? How is it? Do you guys text her? Because I won't see her comment. And the moment I say anything about a baby or about her, she pops up in the chat. Now she's in the chat here. What's happening here? What's happening here? Any church recommendations for Arizona? Yes. Without Walls Church in Mesa, Arizona, and Fresh Start Church in Peoria, Arizona. Those are my 2 recommendations. Do you do 101 on video call deliverance? 101 on video call deliverance. I'm not sure what that means. All right, we're done with the questions. We're going to hang out for a second. And then you guys let me know in the chat what you guys think about us having a 5th baby. So just let us know. How does she know? She's been here since 12:03. Oh, I didn't even know she was in here. She's just lurking in the shadows. But all of a sudden, all right. So yeah, you guys know. Let me put up a poll. Let me put up a poll. There we go. Poll's up. The poll's up in the live chat from the phone. What do you think of that? Let's just let the chat decide. If you guys don't know, the chat decided the name of our 4th child. Well, they didn't decide necessarily the name, but they chose the 2 names we were going to have. It was either going to be, what was it? What was it, Alyssa, again? Haven or Nova? And I think it was like 80% chose Nova, which was my name. Shout out. My wife's not here to defend herself. And then 20%, I think, chose. What was the name? Wasn't it Haven? I think it was Haven. I was going to say Hayden, but I think it was Haven. Right? But yeah, the chat chose the name. Those are fun times. We have a prayer call, guys, at 1:30. Let me say this to those of you watching. Pray about this. Pray about committing next year to being a monthly partner, or if you already are, to extending your thing another year to help us continue on. So we're continuing to do this full time. Partnerships are up and down. At the end of the year, everything goes way down because people are doing 1-year commitments and they're canceling and all that. So we want to keep doing this full time for free without all these random sponsorships and all the videos. If you guys see me being like, this video is sponsored by, then you know people are not partnering and the income's, you know, the income's low. If you see me doing partnership deals, which may happen because it's up and down. I know the economy is bad right now, all of that. But pray about becoming a monthly partner. It does help us out. We don't have a massive staff. We have 2 people that are on staff and one's part-time, one's full-time. But we do need your guys' support. And if you do monthly partner, you'll get 20% off the merch store, all the 70 sermons, and you'll get invited to the 1:30 p.m. Thursday prayer call. So in 30 minutes, we're going to go into Zoom and pray, which I need to go like fix my contact because my right eye has been burning this whole time. But that's here and over there. We will go in 30 minutes on a prayer call on Zoom. And if you monthly partner, you'll get invited to that. If you're a YouTube member, you also get invited. But a monthly partner is better on our website because YouTube takes 30%. So feel free to cancel your YouTube membership and go on the website and sign up that way. And you'll get the email from me and all that because, yeah, YouTube takes 30% of anything. That's why I don't do super chat or giving on YouTube because they take 30%. Yeah, you can sew from internationally, Bianca. Yeah, for sure. Just do it on my website, Bianca. It's safe on my website. It should work. Prayer calls are fire. So where you grow. Thank you so much, bro. Revival Fire Podcast. Thank you, bro. Yeah, so where you grow. So sew in. The links to give are there. All that good stuff. All right. I'm going to stay on for like 5 more minutes here. Chat, we need 100%. Okay, yeah, if we could get the poll to 100%, the people have spoken. There's no choice. I think it was Haven, right? Did somebody already type? Sorry, I was talking. I was going on a rant. You accidentally hit no. You can still change. Wasn't it Haven, Alyssa? Wherever you are. I'm trying to scroll up. Always listening. I think it was Haven. Anyways, Nova won, which if you know Nova, like Marcel in the chat said, Nova is Nova. Haven. Yeah, it was Haven. But if you know Nova, she is a Nova. She's just my baby. I'm going to go give her a hug and kiss right now before my prayer call. Na, 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 na. 9% said no. 91% said yes. Why are you guys saying no? Is 5 too many kids? The Bible says be fruitful and multiply. How could you have too many kids? What does that even mean? It was Nova Grace or Haven Mercy, and the chat chose Nova Grace. It was a landslide. It was like the election. We pretty much won every county, and Alyssa only got the big cities. I'm not trying to compare Alyssa to Kamala Harris and me to Donald Trump. It was the bigliest, best, biggest, most awesomest, hugest, never been done. They said this was the biggest landslide ever. 312 we took. There was no way. We took every state, every city. It was the bigliest election ever. 90 to 10, 90%. 10% said no, 90% yes. Kamala got swept under the rug. She's going to have to go work at McDonald's. It was huge. Yeah, it was totally. Yeah, everyone wanted Nova. Okay. Children are heritage of the Lord. Number 5 represents grace. Hey, number 5? Well, hey, listen. We can't be saying number 5 is grace because you're prophesying another girl over us because we're not naming our boy Grace. Okay, it's not that type of thing here. But, yeah, who knows? The church that I attend is in Modesto, but I am not the pastor at the church, just to be clear. I do not pastor currently, except for you guys. You need to come to Australia? I do want to go to Australia and box a kangaroo. I don't want to box a kangaroo, but I really do want to go to Australia. That's like, if there's, I don't know, I don't have a bucket list, but if I had a bucket list, it would be on my bucket list. Where's the bird? Well, I'm on my phone live streaming now. Right now. Not now, from now on, but right now. We'll be live again Monday, and then we might have videos this weekend. We will see. It's been very, very busy. But, yes. Think you're a great preacher. Thank you, D.D. Lowe. I think you're a great person, even though I don't know you, so I guess that's probably not accurate to say. You should be a pastor. I pastored for 10 years. I senior pastored for 10 years, and unless the Lord calls me, I will not be doing that. Because here's why. I can't do this, reaching millions of people with the message of the gospel, and pastoring at the same time. So I can either pastor over a congregation or do what I'm doing and reaching hundreds of millions of people. So God's given me a grace and a gift to do this. I'm going to keep doing it and preaching. But I did pastor. I just couldn't do that again and do this. And then the Lord, if the Lord calls me to, I will. But Lord, please don't call me to. Is Without Walls a church in Modesto? No. Without Walls is in Mesa, Arizona. The church I'm at is the House Modesto. That's the church I go to. Again, I'm not the pastor, but it's the church I go to. Do you play video games? I don't have time for video games, is the truth. I'm too busy doing what I'm doing and playing pickleball and also having a family. When's your next Ask Me Anything Live? Probably on Thursday, next Thursday. I did the call-in show, which is great, and I'll do that still again, but this is just more like organic. I could talk to more people. I could answer more questions. I like to hang out with the chat. I like to just kind of flow, see what happens, and all that good stuff. Okay. So I do like these. And also, YouTube is pushing me to go live on my phone because they're sending this out to a lot of new people. So we're reaching a lot of new people. When you see them on my phone, it's because it's in a different algorithm. It's on the shorts feed. It reaches a lot more people. So we're just mixing it up, right? Monday's the preaching and teaching. Tuesday's the podcast. Thursday's this. And then who knows? Do you speak Spanish? No, unfortunately, I don't. And I like how I'm answering questions more again. Okay, I'm going to get off here in a moment. Cooking war. We need another cooking live stream. You tell Jared and Candace, set it up. We need another cooking live stream. That was super fun. I love you guys so much. Salute. I appreciate you guys. I could stay on here all day and talk with you guys. Thank you guys for becoming members. Thank you for partnering on the website today. Thanks for joining the prayer call at 1:30. If you're a monthly partner or you're a member or you're this or that, just join the prayer call. Join the prayer call at 1:30. I am so happy, guys, that Kamala Harris did not get elected. I'm so happy. Happy is an understatement. Let's make America godly again. Let's continue to do what we're doing. Shout out to freedom of speech, not getting banned like I might have under another administration. And the best days are ahead for America. God's pouring out a spirit. He's moving. He's doing it. And this just makes it a little bit easier for us. And hopefully the unborn babies stay protected. We got to keep praying, keep crying out. I'm so glad, though. Whew, I'm so glad. Jezebel just went right out the window. Right out the window on Tuesday night. She fell right off the balcony, right out. Get her right out of the White House. And let's get all this woke insanity, all this gender mutilation insanity, all these demonic doctrines. Let's get them out of America. Let's seek the Lord. Let's cry out to God. Let's be awake. Let's be radical. Let's continue to seek the Lord. 91% of you said we should have another kid, so we'll see what happens. Love you guys. Salute. Yeah, when they won, they all got together and sang how great thou art. All right, listen, I'll end with this, okay? No more politics. No more politics. I'm going to end with this. When they won, they all got together and sang how great they are. If Kamala Harris won, they would all got together and sang Cardi B's WAP song. That's all I'm going to say. That's all I'm going to say. All right? Love you guys. Salute. We'll see you guys in the next video. God bless. Love you guys. Bye. Thanks for partnering, giving, sewing, all of that.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of the Revival Lifestyle Podcast. If you like what you heard, go to www.isaiahsaldivar.com for more content. And please follow me on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram @Isaiah Saldivar. See you next week.